Harry remained quite still as the impact of these words hit him. Then he wheeled around. "I forgot," he said. "Lucky you," said Ginny coolly. "I'm sorry," Harry said, and he meant it. So do you think I'm being possessed then?" "Well, can you remember everything you've been doing?" Ginny asked. "Are there big blank periods where you don't know what you've been up to?" Harry racked his brains. "No," he said. "Then you know who hasn't ever possessed you," said Ginny simply. "When he did it to me, I couldn't remember what I'd been doing for hours at a time. I'd find myself somewhere and not know how I got there." Harry hardly dared believe her, yet his heart was lightening almost in spite of himself. "That dream I had about your dad and the snake, though." "Harry, you've had these dreams before," Hermione said. "You had flashes of what Voldemort was up to last year." "This was different," said Harry, shaking his head. "I was inside that snake. It was like I was the snake. What if Voldemort somehow transported me to London?" "One day," said Hermione, sounding thoroughly exasperated, "you'll read Hogwarts, A History, and perhaps that will remind you that you can't apparate or disapparate inside Hogwarts. Even Voldemort couldn't just make you fly out of your dormitory, Harry." "You didn't leave your bed, mate," said Ron. "I saw you thrashing around in your sleep about a minute before we could wake you up." Harry started pacing up and down the room again, thinking. What they were all saying was not only comforting, it made sense. Without really thinking, he took a sandwich from the plate on the bed and crammed it hungrily into his mouth. "I'm not the weapon, after all," thought Harry. His heart swelled with happiness and relief, and he felt like joining in as they heard Sirius tramping past their door toward Buckbeak's room singing, "God rest you merry hippogriffs," at the top of his voice. How could he have dreamed of returning to Privet Drive for Christmas? Sirius's delight at having the house full again, and especially at having Harry back, was infectious. He was no longer their sullen host of the summer. Now he seemed determined that everyone should enjoy themselves as much, if not more, than they would have done at Hogwarts, and he worked tirelessly in the run-up to Christmas Day, cleaning and decorating with their help, so that by the time they all went to bed on Christmas Eve, the house was barely recognizable. The tarnished chandeliers were no longer hung with cobwebs, but with garlands of holly and gold and silver streamers. Magical snow glittered in heaps over the threadbare carpets. A great Christmas tree obtained by Mundungus and decorated with live fairies blocked Sirius's family tree from view, and even the stuffed elf heads on the wall wore Father Christmas hats and beards. Harry awoke on Christmas morning to find a stack of presents at the foot of his bed, and Ron already halfway through opening his own rather larger pile. "Good haul this year," he informed Harry through a cloud of paper. "Thanks for the broom compass, it's excellent. Beats Hermione's. She's got me a homework planner." Harry sorted through his presents and found one with Hermione's handwriting on it. She had given him, too, a book that resembled a diary, except that it said things like, "Do it today or later you'll pay," every time he opened a page.